ready to go. So, all right. Well, glad to see you back. Stomach's full, I'm sure, and good food. We appreciate the hospitality here, and those that don't know, we've been here since Saturday last week, and thankful for being able to stay here in the Prophet's Chamber. It's been a blessing to us and the Cotts family. Just thankful for everything that's been done for us, and just excited to be working towards getting to Montana. But like I say, if you have any more questions, we'll be here a few minutes after service to answer anything else you may have. Appreciate the questions that have already been asked today. We've had some good conversation there. But turn with me in your Bibles this afternoon to 1 John. I always try to preach on missions since, that's our calling. And enjoy preaching on missions. Even if I'm not preaching on missions, missions comes out. So, that's what you're going to get. But it's not probably the first place you would think to turn would be the book of 1 John. But hopefully you'll understand that as we go, especially once we get to the second point, you'll really grasp it. There's two main points this afternoon, but there's going to be several sub-points, and don't get scared. They're pretty quick. But as you're turning there, we're gonna open up reading the first few verses of 1 John. I'm just going to read the first three here as our text to start with, and we're going to jump through the book of 1 John and then one other passage this morning. But here in 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for who you are. Lord, again, I thank you for the one that entrusted Christ as Savior this morning, Lord, and is willing to follow in believer's baptism. Lord, we're thankful for that. And Father, if there's one here this evening that still isn't quite sure of their salvation, Lord, I pray that they would get it straight with you before it's too late. Father, as we open up your word this morning, Lord, just help me to share exactly what you would have for your people this morning. Lord, hide from me anything that I shouldn't say, but Lord, just illumine to me whatever needs saying. And Lord, we just thank you for it, all in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You know, being a Christian is not always the easiest walk, as you probably know if you're saved. It can be quite difficult at times. We've got the world against us at pretty much every step. Right. And it's easy to look at the Word of God and say, if I just had faith and if I could follow step by step, it probably wouldn't be that hard if we just have complete faith in Him. But I don't think any of us are there. So we have a rough walk sometimes. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to step out on faith and do everything that He wants, being filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit of God. That's kind of the ultimate goal while we're here on earth, but it can be difficult. I want to give you some things this morning, though, that John shares through the inspired Word of God that hopefully will help us in that walk. Christ's sacrifice was an incredible one, costing Jesus his life. But it was a cost that he willingly laid down his life. No one killed Jesus. He willingly gave up the ghost. He gave his life for you and me. And one of the last things that Christ said before he ascended back into heaven, this is after the resurrection, he said in Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's a powerful statement. The last things that you get to physically say to someone before leaving this world. Now, we know he speaks to us through his book every day that we'll be in it. Through our prayer time, he speaks to us. But the last thing he physically said while he was on this earth was to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the great commission that he's given us. And that's an individual commission. It's to our local church, but it's to us individually that make up the church. We've got to be in a state of unity in that. But I want you to realize today that a debt is owed. That's the title of the message. A debt is owed. Not a debt for our salvation, but a debt because of our salvation. And because Christ died for you and I, the least we can do is try to follow what he has laid out for us and see the debt that we have towards this lost world to share the gospel as Pastor preached this morning. You know, are you willing to open up to the ones around you about Christ? Are you ashamed of him? Are you willing to go? I want to show you some privileges that I noticed as I was studying the book of 1 John. John's probably a little over 100 years old here at the time of the writing. He is, from a human perspective, he knows what there is to know about Christ. He's been with him, as you see the senses here in chapter 1, the things that we have heard, which we have seen, we've looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. In other words, if there was a problem, he would have saw it. Now, of course, we're looking here in the physical human sense. We can't know everything about Christ, of course, but we trust from his word that he is truth. He is love. He is everything that he says he is. And John is simply being a witness, what we're commanded to do. We're to be a witness to this lost world. He said in verse number 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And he continues, but he wants us, or he wants to share with us what Christ has done in his life. And that's what we've got to do with this lost world around us. That's what we've got to do with the saved world around us, to be an encouragement, to tell others about what he's done, how he's shown himself strong in our life, and encourage others to keep going on. But I found some purposes for writing of the book, and I want to call those out kind of as our privileges this afternoon as we look. So the first point is our privilege, but in verse number 3, he says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So John, first of all, wants to promote fellowship in our lives. That's, as he said, first with us. That's with other believers, with your brothers and sisters in Christ. As this church body, this local assembly, we've got to be kind of on the same page with each other. If we have bitterness towards one or another, then there's a separation there. We're not on speaking terms. You know, it's splitting the church apart. The church can't function as one body. It can't function according to the Great Commission. It can't be the encouragement that it needs to be. But he goes further and says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, as I was in Montana last year in August and September, we had went out for about a month period there. And one night we were kind of out on a ranch at a place that we were staying. And it was a long way from many of the city lights. There's not too many city lights anyway in Montana. But, you know, the light pollution was so low, and we look up at the stars, and it's amazing what you can see. I mean, it's just incredible. Back at home, I don't know of anywhere you can go to see anything close to it. Now, when I saw that, the thought that came to mind was, and he created the stars also. And that's all he said.
That's right.
But yet at the same time, he knows every hair on my head. He knows every thought that's ever entered my mind. He knows every deed that I've ever done. Knows every tear that I've cried. He wants to have that intimate fellowship with me and you. He wants to be the one that we come to when we have a problem. He wants to be the one that we come to when we're thankful for what we have. He wants to be everything to us. And he created the billions of stars. He knows every grain of sand there is. But he wants to talk to us. He's chosen us to be his people.
That's good.
He wants to have fellowship. But, of course, we know sin is what separates us from fellowship with Christ. And every time we commit an act of sin, it separates us from him. He can no longer lead us through his word. See, God leads us. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He shows us a light just to the path that we need for this point in time. Then if we sin, we get separated from that light and we're kind of walking on our own. We stray from the path that he would take us on. But if we go back to him, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll bring us right back into that fellowship. If we're truly, you know, repentant of that sin, willing to turn from it, confess it as sin, quit calling it something else. So many times this world, we've made up every name in the book for our sin, but sin. We've got to call it sin. That word confess literally means to, you know, say what I do about it. That's kind of what Christ is saying. Call it sin. I call it sin. You need to call it sin. But we need that close-knit fellowship one with another so we can be an encouragement, so that we can work as one to go out into the community. But we've got to be in fellowship with Christ. We've got to have his Holy Spirit guiding us every step of the way. If not, we're of no use to him. So John wanted to promote fellowship, but he goes even further in verse 4. He says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. John wanted to promote joy. He wanted to promote fellowship, but second, he wants to promote joy. Which, by the way, can only happen when you're in fellowship with God. Right. This world will give you a sense of joy, but I promise you it's nothing compared to the joy that's in Christ.
Amen.
When I got saved, I was given a measure of joy, but it wasn't the joy that this is talking about, I believe. You know, I go back to the last thing that Christ said. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. You know, that's a command. It's a command that he gives every believer. If you're not following that command, is that not sin? We've got to go tell others about Christ. If we're not telling others, we're not following his commandments. And, you know, I believe we don't see that full measure of joy until we fulfill every aspect that he's asked us to do. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. Yes, we're going to commit sin, but we keep short accounts with sin. We try to stay as close to him as we can. We try to obey him. We share Christ with others. And, you know, I was thinking about it whenever I first got saved. I wasn't discipled. I didn't tell anyone about Christ. And it was several years later, actually. I got saved in 2002. It was probably somewhere around 2008, 2007, 2008, somewhere in there that I started learning more about the Word of God. We were in some Bible studies at a church that we were at, and the guy that was leading, he's like, hey, I'm going to come get you Saturday. We're going to go out soul winning. I was like, no, I'm not going to go. I was a shy, quiet guy. I didn't want to talk to people I didn't know. And he's like, I'm coming to get you. So he did. He's like, I'll do all the talking. I just want you there with me. You can handle the literature and, you know, hand it to me when I need it and so forth. And so I was like, all right. So we did that for about 3 weeks in a row. Never had to say anything. I was like, okay, we can do this. And the fourth time, he said, okay, I'm going to do the first few. And then you're going to do one. So he did his first few, and I'm taking all the mental notes I can. And then he said, all right, this house is yours. So, you know, I start walking down the driveway, praying that no one's home. And as I get up to the door, no one's there. So I was like, okay, I can do this. Went to the next house, no one's there. Finally, someone answered the door. And you probably had that deer in the headlights look, and I don't know what I looked like or sounded like to them. But nonetheless, you know, I was able to share the gospel with them. You know, I wish I could tell you they got saved, but they didn't that day. Hopefully they did later. But, you know, just through the course of the day, I talked to a few more people. And just at the end of the day, when I got back home and started reflecting, and I realized something, that God had gave me a joy that I'd never had before. I knew that I had did what he wanted me to do. And, you know, every time since, I get that joy, and it's that joy that overflows. How many of you have a junk drawer at home? Yeah, come on. You know, sometimes you can't get it open or you can't get it shut all the way. You know, You know, that's how our joy should be. When someone looks at us, we should have a smile on our face. We should be happy about the fact that, hey, we're going to church on a Wednesday night or Sunday evening. Whatever it is, we should be happy about it. We should be happy, hey, I'm going out soul winning tomorrow. Why don't you come with me? You know, we should have like that trail of joy just falling out, you know, leaving a trail of it so everyone knows we're happy in Christ. And as we're going along our way, you know, have you ever heard someone say, you know, I want what he's got. I want what she's got. That's how people should look at us, because we have a joy that's overflowing. And that's what God wants to give us. That's a privilege that we have of being in Christ, being saved, amen, doing what he wants us to do. John wanted to promote fellowship, but he wanted to promote joy. And then in chapter 2, verse number 1, he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, he is the payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. But he said that ye sin not. John wanted to prevent sin in our lives. He said it is simply not worth it to commit these acts of sin. You know, I preach a prison ministry back home one time a month, well, mainly prior to deputation. It's been kind of hard since. But I was talking to one of the guys. I was actually filling in a Sunday school class for the prison chaplain who's at our church. And I was talking to this guy. He said, you know, I was making a living. I was had my excavator and different things. He was doing a lot of clearing land and so forth. And he had a good job. But on the side, he was selling drugs. He said, they came and picked me up right on the job site, took me out of the loader, and took me to jail. He said, I was a small business. He said, it was just me and another guy. And said, my wife ended up having to figure out how to get these excavators off the property. You know, the other guy couldn't do it. And I don't know how they ended up doing it, but, you know, sin makes a mess. And you know, that's just one example. It's like, it didn't necessarily cause him too much personal problem. Yeah, he went to jail. But I'm thinking about the other side of it. His family had to figure out how to get all this equipment back and figure out how to handle all this stuff, how to pay the bills without him making money on the job now, all these things. But that's what our sin will do to others around us. Sin always impacts someone else. But John said, it's simply not worth it to commit these acts of sin. He said that ye sin not. That's his purpose. Now, we know if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, it doesn't take away the consequences of these sins. You know, once we sin, you know, some of the consequences are already set. But God will forgive. As Christians, we should forgive others when they've sinned against us as well. We should no longer hold the bitterness. We should let that pass. Be willing to restore that relationship. Look over at verse number 12. He says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Now this is the key to the whole thing. This is the key to all of life. For his name's sake. Everything is for the name of Jesus Christ. Everything goes back to Jesus Christ. Everything in the Word of God will take you back to Jesus Christ. He said, I want you to have fellowship with God so that we can be led through the Holy Spirit to fulfill the great commission that Christ gave us. He said, I want you to be in a place where you have a joy that overflows, so that when this lost world looks at you, they'll want what you have in Christ. He said, I want you to stay out of sin so that you don't lose that and become useless for Christ. He said, little children, because your sins are forgiven you, he wants to proclaim forgiveness. He wants us to be able to have that fellowship, that joy, being apart from sin so that we can proclaim the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And if there's one of you that thinks, well, I've did something that you just wouldn't understand, too bad for Christ to save me. Or maybe you know someone that said that. There was a man in this prison ministry that I talked to one night. I went in one night and had never met this guy in my life. So I figured he was new to the prison, but didn't know where he had transferred from or anything like that. I was there with a prison chaplain he's with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, but his name is Jim. So Jim was the first day on a job at a maximum security unit in North Carolina, and he said he saw this man pacing around outside a secure area of the maximum custody area, and he said, "Hey, you know, come here a minute. I just want to talk to you a minute. I want to tell you I love you and share something with you." Stopped him in his tracks. He came over to the door, to the waiting area, whatever it was there, and said, "You know, this is the first time anyone has ever said, I love you," directed at me. And Jim was sincere. This man was born in drugs and alcohol and family that didn't want him. Now, it doesn't discount what he did. That night, Jim said, "Hey, why don't you give him a testimony? Let him know where you've came from." Now, he said, right off the bat, he said, "You know, I murdered 8 people in a shooting spree. Raped several women. Said I had 2 life sentences and 40 years. I'm thinking, why are you here? This minimum custody unit doesn't take life sentences. So I'm just anxious to hear the rest of this testimony." Now, this man didn't get saved the day that Jim met him there at the maximum security unit, but he did say this. He said, "You can go talk to any person you want to in this unit." He said, "I got your back. No one's going to mess with you." And of course, he was that type of guy. And it held true. He got saved a couple months later, started holding Bible studies, started witnessing to people, seeing men saved in the prison. He was, over the course of several years, he was downgraded in his custody from maximum to whatever the lowest is in that facility, and went through some appeals process that God opened the doors up for, and there's no other explanation than but God did it. And both life sentences were dropped. He had been serving one of them concurrently with the 40-year sentence. He was down to just under 25 years left at the time that he transferred to the Davidson Correctional Center where I go. And he said, "I just applied for a MAP program, which gives you a release date that's 5 years out if you complete so many things. But some of the main criteria is that you've got to be able to get out on work release. Now, you don't have to, but it's next to impossible if you don't. And if you have more than 20 years, you're not allowed to go out on work release." So he wasn't allowed to. Nonetheless, 5 years later, he's an assistant pastor in Lexington, North Carolina. And, you know, people find it hard to get over the fact of what he did. But Christ forgave. You know, I've saw him at the gas station a few times, and he always comes up, "Hey, I love you, brother." And, you know, he's wanting to share Christ. He's wanting to share that, you know, "Hey, God forgave me. He can forgive you." And it's an amazing forgiveness that's in Christ. If anyone ever says that, "You just don't know what I've done," man, they're just wrong. It doesn't matter what they've done. You know, my sins nailed Christ to the cross. He forgave me. But he wants us to proclaim forgiveness. Now, in verse 26, as we move on, he says, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." John wanted to protect the saints. He wanted to protect us from the wolf in sheep's clothing. Satan, that's, you know, he's around every corner. There's false religions everywhere. As I shared about Butte, there's 34 churches in the city of Butte. Only 2 proclaim the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The other is a false religion. That's just one example. No doubt, the Austin area is very similar. Now, how do we know? How are we protected? It's from this book. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, but I've got to know what it is. How do I get out of sin and back to where I should be? Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. He said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. He said, hey, we've got to be in this book, or we're going to wander. We're going to stray at every wind of false doctrine around us. We've got to know his word. John wanted to protect the saints. And turn to chapter 5, verse 13, probably the theme of the book of 1 John. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He wants us to have assurance, to provide assurance of our salvation, of our position in Christ, but also that we can have fellowship, that we can know when we're in fellowship. We can know how to regain our fellowship when we've committed these acts of sin. He wants us to be able to know where we're at. And you know, we're the only group on earth that can say, I have assurance that when I die, that I'll go to heaven.
That's right.
So we're out on a visitation yesterday. I asked the question, said, if you were to die today, do you know where you would go? And, you know, so many is like, I hope so. Very few said, yes, I'm sure of where I'm going to go. But you know, most don't even want to know. It's the sad truth of the world that we live in. But we see our privilege in that we have a fellowship with the Almighty God, the creator of this universe. He wants to have that intimate conversation with us. He wants to guide and direct our path every day, every step of our way. He wants to give us a joy that overflows, and all of this for the sake of Jesus Christ, that we can fulfill his desire. And you know, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, to go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He said that ye sin not, so that you don't lose out on these things that I've given you to help along the way. He wants us to have that assurance. He wants us to have that protection from the world, all coming from his word. That's our privilege. But I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1 as we look at our practice. And this will go pretty quickly. But with all that we've been through this morning, before we can do anything for the Lord, we've got to be in continued fellowship with him. We've got to keep those short accounts of sin so that we keep that fellowship. We've got to follow him as closely as we can, as we walk the path that he's laid out for us. We go back to the thought that a debt is owed. As we try to proclaim the forgiveness that John preached about, through the inspiration of God, he said to proclaim the forgiveness to this lost world. As we look here in chapter 1 of Romans, we'll go to verse number 5 for a moment. He says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Just to reiterate, we saw John say it. Now we saw Paul say it. It's for his name. For the name of Jesus Christ is what it's all about. But we skip down to verse 14 and we see the heart of Paul. He said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. We see that the Apostle Paul lived his life with the perspective and the mentality that he was a debtor. He said to the Greeks, to the barbarians. He's basically saying to everyone, to the entire world. It's two people groups, but it makes up everyone. Paul said, I am a debtor. And he knew that he was to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And that was his purpose in life at this point. He had been one to persecute the early Christians before they were called that. But, you know, it's amazing. You know, we talked about that forgiveness. I don't want to get sidetracked, but Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. And God saved him. We see the Damascus Road experience. He saved him. He completely changed him. And now Paul says, I am a debtor. Verse 15, he says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now we get scared at that word preach sometime. But it simply means to teach, to proclaim. In other words, tell somebody about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whether it's a son or daughter, a brother or sister, a mom and dad, grandparents, a co-worker, someone at school, it doesn't matter. Whoever God puts in your path, He wants us to share the gospel of Christ. Paul has shared with us that he's a debtor, but now he said, I am ready to pay that debt. When we look at the life of Paul, Pastor shared with us earlier, you know, one of the events in the life of Paul and his dedication to the gospel. I think about Acts 17 as Paul preached and was stoned to the point of death, thrown out of the city, restored, and comes back into the same city he was stoned in. It's an amazing story, an amazing actual account of what God did through a man that was sold out to God. He valued the lives of those lost people over his own. He said, as absent from this body is present with the Lord. He's like, I'm not afraid of heaven. He recognized that. You know, thankfully the United States probably isn't that bad, but there are areas of the world that people are risking their very life to share the gospel. We've still got it easy in comparison. But so many times we won't go to our own family members. We won't walk next door to our neighbor. Help us to reach. Paul finally says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. As I think about just turning on the news, it doesn't take you long to realize that this world's completely against us. Something's going to come up that's saying how we're trying to shove it down their throats, the gospel, or how they should live their life. Now, we have to stand up for our rights. Don't get me wrong. But telling someone, hey, you've got to get in church. You've got to do this differently. You've got to change the way you do this. That's not what God said we need to do. He said we're to share the gospel. He said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, For I am determined not to know anything among you but Christ and Him crucified. He said, hey, I don't need to know anything about you, which means I'm not going to be telling you that you shouldn't be doing this or that because I don't know it. He said, but Christ and Him crucified. We're to share that Christ died for them, that He loved them so much that He gave His own life on the cross at Calvary. He rose again 3 days later, and then He's ascended back to heaven today, winning victory over this world, victory over sin. And that we can have that victory simply trusting, believing in the name of Jesus Christ and what He did for us. Paul said, I am not ashamed. He said, I'm a debtor, I'm ready, but I'm not ashamed. The gospel is the power that is given from God to reach this world. It's as simple as opening our mouth and sharing it when God puts someone in front of us. As He told Moses, He said, I'll supply the words. I just need a willing vessel. Will you go? As I close, I'm going to just close in a word of prayer. And Pastor, if you want to come close out the service, I'll let you close how you wish. But